Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the Domestic Abuse Breakthrough Show, where we tackle violence against women and girls through education, empowerment, and hope. Join Kate, a survivor and advocate, as she shares insights, strategies, and stories that inspire healing and action. Together, we'll break the cycle and pave the way for a future of safety and strength. This show contains a trigger warning. And now, here's your host, Kate Beasley.
So, welcome back to another episode. And today I am rejoined by my friend, Jane Claridge. Welcome. So today we thought we would do an analysis, breakdown, just general discussion of the jury, which is a Channel 4 I suppose it's an experiment, isn't it, Ed, to see whether to determine whether our jury system is fit for purpose. And these are real life cases that they're having a rerun of, and just seeing what verdict these additional juries, panel of juries, come to. So we're going to discuss season two. Now, we do know the name of, because although obviously they were, the names were changed for the purpose of this exercise, mainly so it didn't sway the jury's decision, so they could look up the case. But so we do actually know the name of season two, which is, what do we say it was, Jen?
Irma Jane. I can't find her surname.
Can't find her surname.
Why?
We'll put it in the description. her name on season two was Sophie. And the victim was Ryan.
Yeah.
Now, Sophie was 23, 23-year-old single mum when she met Ryan. She had a pretty problematic upbringing, didn't she? You know, she didn't have the best start as a young mum. You know, she had problems within her own childhood, didn't she?
Yeah, which very much domestic violence by the signs of it, and upbringing.
Yeah. But ultimately, Sophie ended up killing her boyfriend after a night out. But he wasn't innocent either, was he? He was very volatile. There was a history of there was a history. What was interesting to me was the his ex-partner and how she was she because even though he wasn't around, she was still very much protecting him until she was questioned further on certain things they had evidence of.
Really, she just couldn't see it, could she? She just
Yeah.
couldn't see the way things were moving,
Yeah.
and that certainly came out after, when they first started asking her questions. She was, he was certainly on a pedestal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then the further they got in, especially when the defense started questioning her on some of the things that were coming out, some of the text messages, the threat to break her nose, pushing her against the wall, all sorts of stuff like that. And then you start seeing it
Yeah.
actually coming out, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Then she had to concede, didn't she? She had to concede on things that they knew that they had evidence of. But she was still very, very much inclined to. And that just demonstrates, doesn't it, how most victims we want to cling on to the person that we believe we met at the start of the relationships. That's the person we cling on to, and that's the person we're always seeking to keep finding, refinding. Because if I can just get them help, well, then that person, that old person, that good person will reappear again, and that person actually never existed, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we're, also raised a lot of the time not to kind of recognize certain behaviors are existing or wrong, or we blame ourselves in some sort of way, and or there's a sort of societal sort of bias that you grow up around, and it just all sort of embeds inside, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And all sorts of complex reasons why you might not believe that there has been abuse. So yeah, and you could certainly see that really clearly with his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, 100%. And he very, very evidently didn't like the idea of Emma, which is her real name, and or Sophie, as in the name that they used in the jury, being in contact with her. That he didn't like that idea, because that's why she got threatened to have her nose broken.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, that's where you start to find out the truth about people, isn't it? When
Yeah.
you sort of start talking to the exes or people, that are known in sort of like the past life or whatever, like they're trying to sort of run from and things. So yeah, I
Yeah.
definitely don't like that.
Yeah, 100%. The common thing as well was is that she that the, it appears that the esc and it's more likely to be that there was an escalation in his behavior once he started on the steroids and the other substances. It probably will have been there before, but more it was easier to cover up. But when you've got when the steroids in the system, obviously it makes them even more volatile. And I know that because I've dated somebody years ago who took steroids, and so I can speak firsthand on that. But that's where that's I think this that was the last 2 years of that ex's relationship, which means that is the person that Emma was living with. And again, what was interesting was that when she met him, it was very carefully, it appears as though it was Emma's idea for him to move in, but he presented himself as this. If he was a woman, he would have been a damsel in distress.
Yeah, absolutely, because his ex had just literally come out and he was kind of homeless, wasn't he? So, yeah.
So although he didn't directly say, "Can I move in?" he positioned himself so she felt like well, I suppose obligated in a way to say, oh well, and it kind of fitted in with her desire to have this perfect family unit, because that's what she made so secret of it. That's what she desperately craved for her own child.
Yeah, and that's where this whirlwind sort of like beginning came from, isn't it? Sweet Pete, swept off her feet by, we expect he was, real cheeky chappy when he first met her, sort of putting that on just to make her feel sort of like comfortable and safe, and that, he was, amazing and loving and great and stuff. So yeah, and like you said, the being homeless at the time, and yeah, probably felt that obligation to sort of look after him like a mother, kind of like a lot of women are raised to do, caretakers,
And that's typically, as we know, that's typically how, certainly women who have lacked that emotional stability growing up, they become the caregiver because they take on the role, well, if I just look after you and care for you and give you lots and lots of love, then maybe I will be worthy of your time, your love, your commitment, your affection.
given what they didn't have.
So she saw that as an opportunity to start proving herself, to become worthy, because actually it wasn't him. He actually said to her that my friend wants your number. And she didn't like his friend. It was, and she, but you can have my number. And he was straight round that day, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And never left. Lying there with his black bags.
So, so straight away, when we look at when we're looking at the patterns, because this is what we as risk assessors, we look for patterns. And that's the first thing that we look for is how did the relationship start? And straight away, it wasn't off to a great start. To other people, it seems like a fairy tale, but it's that's not off to a great start at all.
No, definitely not. It's like a kind of instant kind of entrapment, isn't it?
Yeah,
Entrapment
it
can
is.
usually happen over a period of time, but this was kind of, an instant thing, wasn't it? In this case.
And then there is the point that both of them were quite volatile. Both of them. And this is where we have to really, really get honest. Because it's too easy to side with the person who is mainly at the receiving end. But they were both really volatile, weren't they? Both of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You could see clearly that Sophie had a history of sort of violent behaviour, and so did Ryan, Emma and James.
James, yeah, James is his real name, yeah. And both of them under the influence of substances and alcohol. Which goes back to, which is why I always say that irregardless of who's the antagonist, who's the aggressor, the main aggressor. Alcohol and drugs is a huge risk factor, certainly when there's children involved, because it makes, if you are inclined to be volatile and reactive, it's going to shine a great big spotlight on that, and it you're like a caged animal that you can't control.
And the thing is, she said that she lets her anger out when she drinks. But if you think about what may have been happening while she wasn't drinking, all that sort of like, being compounded up, and then when she does drink, it's just like bam, she just like lets go, doesn't it? If somebody's got like a really calm, safe life in general, when they drink, I mean, generally, you wouldn't see those kind of explosions and that sort of like volatile behavior, would you? But when someone's got a history like, Sophie or Emma, is, you know, it is going to come out like that. And then certainly if she's now in a relationship where there is abuse happening, she's being called names all the time and, you know, being degraded and, you know, all sorts of things like that when she does drink, that's it. It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it,
Yeah,
really?
it is. It is. Yeah. It's literally, it's throwing fuel onto the fire that's already burning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is where, we have victims have a responsibility, particularly when they are the other, if not only to themselves and to the other person and to other people, more so to their own children. If you know you have a tendency to be that reactive under the influence, it is your responsibility to seek the help and not put and avoid putting yourself in that position where you are under the influence and you have a high, particularly when you know that person is constantly pressing your buttons all the time. And they're more likely to do it too as well when they're under the influence. If you are also under the influence, well, that's just a recipe for disaster. It's inviting because it's opening the door to a fatality waiting.
Everybody needs to be accountable for their behaviors. Everybody, like, and we know that, you know, having a traumatic upbringing, you know, traumatic childhood, traumatic time in general, you know, can cause these reactive responses. And you know, when you recognize that, even if, you know, you're on the victim side, if you're the one being victimized, and you're reacting in certain ways, like violent resistors or, you know, or reactive responses, it, and you know this is happening, it is your responsibility to take accountability for that behavior and do what you can to sort of try and heal from that. It, you know, and I think that's what separates, you know, a victim from a perpetrator, is that a perpetrator will not take accountability or responsibility most of the time for their behavior. Whereas a victim who's reacting will often take responsibility. You saw that, you know, with Gabby Petito when she was completely blaming herself after she had attacked, you know, hit Brighton. She took complete responsibility. I know in my case, you know, if I did something, I would always hold my hands up and I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, I've done that. I'm so sorry. I would take full responsibility, you know, and things like it kind of is what separates us, but it's really, really important to move on, to be able to move on and take the steps to heal, and you know, work on those behaviors, because we can't, just because we're traumatized, we cannot walk around
Been a risk to
hurting
other
people,
people.
being a risk to other people, hurting ourselves, hurting our children. It's really, really important for us to be able to do that as well.
Well, we're just going to break for a short interval, and we shall see you after the break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. So we've got the name now, which we double checked it. Emma J. Magston is her actual name, because we couldn't remember the surname. But, you know, before the break, we were saying about, you know, this is not victim blaming, because, you know, one thing that myself and Jen don't do is victim blame, but we are very real. And we have to look at risk management is as much our responsibility as it is anybody else's. And given that she had a child, a young child, knowing that she was very aware of how volatile she could be, she should have got herself the help. Equally, you know, I don't believe for one minute that, you know, because at that point she was very close to her grandmother. Surely her grandmother would have known how volatile that she was. That she must have known about her arrests and the circumstances surrounding those arrests. You know, the people who love her should have encouraged her, and they may have done. But she may not have listened, potentially. But equally, the system's failed to risk manage. And, you know, this is something that I say repeatedly, you know, whenever I've attended the station with victims that I've supported, I've always said to them, look, you know, we know it's hard to prove, but your job is risk management. And if you know there's a child involved, you're not just risk managing potential escalation involving other adults. You're protecting a vulnerable child as well from the fallout of what may or may not be. And unfortunately now, there is a young child without a mother. Unnecessarily. This did not need to happen.
Absolutely. She was arrested a few times by the looks of it. And, you know, I do. And she was in a past relationship with a domestic abuse perpetrator. You know, there was lots of evidence of that. You know, I wonder, I have to wonder where anybody stepped in, you know, sort of social services, the police, you know, did they step in? You know, where were they? What happened? What did they do? Because from, you know, the way it's escalated to where, you know, this point now where she's in prison for murder, you know, where was that risk management?
And that's not necessarily to say that, you know, they should have stepped in and taken her child. That's not because that's not something I condone unless it is in extreme circumstances, you know. So in a situation like hers, with the information that we're aware of, because that was what myself and Jen can go off when we talk about these cases, is what we are, what's publicly made available to us, you know. But with what we can publicly see, I think there was potential for to sit her down and say, look, unless we get you the help and support that you need to break this cycle, we will have to step in. But right here, right now, we're going to help you. We're going to go to this service, go to that service, go to this therapy, go to, you know, go back to your grandmother, you know, if you need somebody to, if you don't want to be on your own and you fear jumping back into another relationship until you are more feeling more stable and settled within yourself. That's the sort of handholding that authorities need to be giving, as opposed to going in like a bull in a china shop, which can actually cause more harm than good. Now, if you've tried the softer approach and it doesn't work, granted, there's only so far you can go with this nurturing approach before you have to say, okay, now we need to step in and escalate intervention for the safety of the child. But I think there was potential with what we know that a softer approach may have done the trick with her and just said, and made her aware that if you don't sort this out, then we will, your child will have to be protected from the environments that you're exposing them to.
I think a lot of the time, you know, when, you know, I see this sort of thing day in, day out, working on the front line, you know, children on child protection plans because of domestic abusers and things like that. And usually, most of the time, when a child is brought on to a child protection plan, things do start to turn around for the person who's being victimized. They do seem to find more strength to be able to move away from that. And obviously there's a bit more support, you know, when it comes to sort of like housing, things like that, you know, the practicalities of being able to leave and sort of the protection, you know, because obviously it's dangerous, isn't it, leaving? But, you know, there are a few who it just, it's absolutely heartbreaking to see.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't do anything. And, you know, the person who's being victimized just can't seem to pull themselves out of it. They can, you know, sometimes are offered, you know, the various things and it just doesn't happen. But I would like to know whether this was offered to Sophie in this, you know, because I think, you know, there would be an even sort of like clearer vision of what was going on really and her sort of mindset.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so This case is a little bit more. It's not black and white. This case, and no case is black and white. But this one is a little bit more complex because, you know, she's not completely innocent. But then we can see what unfolded that night would cause that fatality. Now, as I say, granted, she chose to be under the influence of alcohol, which increased that the likelihood of that outcome. So that was her responsibility, and that's why I say it's not black and white. This case, I think the alcohol also has altered her memory a little bit on how things have played out. Because although she may have stabbed him in the kitchen, I think it's been after he's released his hand from around her throat. But she may not be, it may be that she's lied. It may be that she's just not remembering it as a combination of the drink-fueled drinking a system and trauma and disbelief. I think there was an element of disbelief with her that she's maybe not wanting to believe that's what she's ultimately ended up doing.
The evidence is there, as far as I'm concerned, that he had his hands around her throat.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
She had bruising, didn't she, around her neck? And that's not the sort of place you get bruising accidentally, I think.
The CCTV footage on the street before they got, you know, on their way home, you know, that is like, you know, you can't, that's undeniable what was happening.
Yeah, you can clearly see that there was violence that night. You know, she was covered in bruises, she had the bruises around her neck. As far as the argument of whether it happened in the kitchen, like I was saying to Kate, I think sometimes when somebody has their hands around your throat, a lot of the time there is a struggle. sometimes there's not. In my case, when I was strangled, there it lasted for a number of seconds, probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 seconds, something like that. I didn't struggle in that moment. And then he had let him go. And then, but there was, even though it was a few seconds, there was still breathing around my neck. So yeah. That is possible too. Yeah. Maybe he had put his hands around her throat in the kitchen. He had let go, walked off, and then she stabbed him in the hall. Or maybe he did put his hands around her throat in the kitchen. She stabbed him in the kitchen. He had walked out to the hall, pulled the knife out, and that's when the blood came. Because, you know, not off, you know, not always when the knife is actually in, is there always blood everywhere? So, you know, there's different ways, I suppose, of looking at it. But I do believe that she was strangled that night.
Mm. Oh, yeah, she definitely was strangled. 100% she was strangled.
Yeah.
Right, we're just going to break for another interval and we shall close off this particular case with the final bits of the information. See you after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back. So, there's a lot of grey area around why he was left to bleed to death, essentially. But we've got to really look at, there's a couple of things to unpick here. He was in a severe enough state that the neighbour noticed something wasn't right through the window. The brother came out and helped Emma carry him in.
Although I'll see it say, he even said himself there was blood, didn't he?
And the quote that the neighbour said, "My heart's bleeding," which means that there must have been blood visible. So then my question is, why did the brother help her carry him in and leave him on the living room floor? Why did nobody call an ambulance whilst he was lying on the floor, lying on the road?
It was like all kind of left.
Why didn't the neighbour ring an ambulance? Why didn't the neighbour ring the police?
Yeah. It just seems very strange, doesn't it? That, you know, he was out in the street, blood everywhere. There was blood on the doorstep. You know, clearly visible. And then he was helped in the house, her and his brother in the house, and then he was left on the floor.
Bleeding. And there's blood on the door frame.
Yeah.
So allegedly They're claiming that Sophie, Emma, didn't realise that he was bleeding, but there was blood on the doorframe. So there's no way that blood's got on the doorframe when the ambulance have eventually come and carried him out into the ambulance. The blood's got on the door from that. The blood's got on the doorframe from either him staggering out onto the road, as he said, my heart's bleeding, or when his brother and her have carried him in. That's when the blood's got onto the doorframe.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I mean, it's pretty impossible that if she stabbed him, whether it's in the kitchen or on the doorstep, when he's gone outside in the street, it's impossible that there wouldn't be any blood.
No. So
it was, you know, it was would have been clearly visible. Then Sophie and the brother carry him inside and he's on the floor, right? Sophie calls an ambulance, but she obviously doesn't say that he's been stabbed. But does the brother know? Like he must have seen that. And I'm sure he said that there was, so why
the brother just multiple. The brother described that he was breathing, he was making a funny noise when he was breathing. Well, that in itself, even if you didn't see any blood, which I do not believe you didn't see any blood, that in itself says to you that you should call an ambulance and get him help immediately.
Yeah, because I believe, like, when I think about the state that Sophie was in when she'd done that, I, like I said to you, don't think she realized how serious that injury was. She knew what she had done. I think she knew what she had done. She knew she had stabbed him. She took the knife in the bin.
Yeah.
Okay, she knew she had stabbed him, but I don't think she realized how serious that injury was. As I was saying to you, her father had stabbed her mother in the leg when she was a child. So, you know, it's likely she kind of understood in that moment of trauma and confusion and drunkenness, that it wasn't a serious injury. She had seen something like that happen before and the person had survived and it wasn't, you know, I don't think overly serious. So she was probably in that mindset. She was obviously frightened of getting in trouble. You know, going straight back to being a child, like when you've done something wrong, say if a child breaks something, you know, they try and hide it.
Yeah.
Try and hide what they've done.
Yeah.
And I know this is a lot more serious than that, but actually it's very similar.
Yeah. Well, the brain can't differentiate between, it doesn't understand the difference between, it just knows that, oh, I'm in trouble. That's what represents the greatest danger to me. Whether you've broken a toy or whether you've potentially taken somebody's life, you would instantly go into panic mode and want to cover up if you are. And that's not the same for everybody. And this is what we, you know, we were chatting about before, weren't we? To say that, I've experienced that and I didn't, you can't, nobody can say how anybody would react in a certain situation, because everybody's breaking point is very different. And actually somebody's breaking point could be over the most minor thing, but it's not the minor thing that's been the straw that's broken the camel's back. It's been a cumulative effect of all the other things that's led up to that incident. So, you know, who's to say what anybody's breaking point is? So we can't say, oh, well, I wouldn't react in that way, and that's very extreme, and I've experienced X, Y, and Z. You can't compare. You know, did she do wrong by, yes, she did. Should she have covered up? No, she shouldn't have.
Yeah, see, it's simple to say,
but,
isn't it?
Yeah. In the moment, can I understand why she would be panicked and think, right, well, he did get into a fight when he was out. You know, he was drinking and taking drugs, and using those elements of fact to cover up her involvement. And I can understand why, what would cause her to do that through panic and disbelief, because she did love him. I don't disbelieve that she loved him. And I think that was purely disbelief as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because what's interesting is that I, and again, we chatted about this on the break, about the friend of Ryan's, or James, is it Jet? What's he called? James, is it?
James in real life.
James. She made reference to him telling her that she'd held a knife to his chest and left a mark. Not penetrated, just like indentation. She also made reference to him hitting him over the head with a vacuum pipe or something, which aligns with something the neighbour said, that he witnessed her doing that as well. So because we know that's true, there's a potential that there's an element of truth that maybe the two of them being volatile pressed each other's buttons and gaunted each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, highly possible that this has happened again, and maybe this time it's gone too far.
And they're likely, you know, because she's picked up knives before in the past to threaten him with, more than likely because of abuse that she was being subjected to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's more likely that she can pick up a knife again.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
because nothing bad has actually happened before when she's picked up a knife before.
Yeah.
That it kind of went a bit far, you know, with strangulation and things like that. It went a bit further.
And that, obviously, that's not something that there is evidence of. That's just us looking at something that we know that was brought up, and based off the evidence that's there, there's a possibility that that's true. So if that is true, that's a possible scenario that could have taken place that night that would explain her disbelief of, well, how did I go from this to this? Because that's what happens when the predatory response is triggered, and all it would have taken was a piercing glare from him to trigger that loss of control. That moment. Yeah. And, you know, that's where she has gone and gaunted him as she has done maybe previously, and it's gone too far because she's lost control. That's when the wares kicked in. It's like, how has this happened? It's complete disbelief that, well, how has this happened?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, it's a very complex case, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, you know, one of the, you know, going back to what we were saying before about him being left on that floor to die, essentially. Just where was everybody else?
Yeah, exactly. It's all very well and good to say to her, say, well, why did you? Well, also, why did the brother and why did the neighbour?
Yeah.
Or neighbours?
When it was clear, like, it was so obvious that, you know, he'd been seriously injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can't believe that, you know, they wouldn't have said any, and by what they were saying as well, they all recognised it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's my...
That's, yeah, exactly, exactly. So it's too easy to pin it all on her, but actually there's other people that actually should be questioned. Well, why did you leave him to mm-hmm. die, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
All right, she did, but also you did.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, she's, I suppose, got that, I don't want to even really call it an excuse, but trauma response.
Alcohol in the system.
Mind is completely somewhere else, you know.
Well, she's in a complete state of panic and disbelief, and not want. She, I don't think she genuine. She was genuinely in a place where that. If I don't acknowledge it, it's not real. It's like a child who doesn't want to hear what mum and dad are saying, and la 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 la, covering your ears up. No, 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 you're not. So no, 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 I can't hear. It's not true.
It's and crazy think, where our mind can take us.
Yeah,
trauma response, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And this is, and you know, we're going to do another episode to follow on with this because it's such a huge topic. I didn't think we'd get through it all in one episode. but this is why, you know, it isn't, you've got to look at all the different moving parts of a case, particularly with cases like this, because it's not black and white. There's so many things that can influence certain responses, and we can't just simply say, well, I wouldn't behave like that, and that's not how I would have responded, because who's to say how anybody would respond if they're faced in that situation?
Absolutely.
You know, I know I wouldn't be able to say how I would like to think I would respond in a certain way, but I can't say for certain I would.
No. And I think actually, and you know, obviously I really don't want to offend anyone by saying this, but I do find, and I find this with a couple of members of the jury who were, you know, themselves victims of domestic abuse, experienced it. I actually find that some people who've been victimized by domestic abusers can actually be the most judgmental towards other people in domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Because of the way that they've responded. And they feel like everybody should respond the same.
Well, our views on the jury system is another whole separate episode entirely.
Yeah.
That is something we are going to discuss as well. Once we've broken down these two series of cases. But we're going to do another episode to follow on with this case, just to make it more comprehensive of an explanation. So thank you, Jan, for joining me. It's been lovely.
Thanks for having me.
And we shall see you on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of this vital conversation. If you feel inspired to take action and support women, girls and children affected by abuse, please visit the show notes in Kate's bio on UK Health Radio. There you can register your interest in becoming a certified trauma-informed expert, specialising in topics that address this ever-growing crisis. Together, we can shape a safer future for those who need it most. Until next time, stay strong, stay informed and remember, you are never alone.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.